We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Barrichek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yashinsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yashinsky not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Redemption, no. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Hour two of two here on the Hot Corner. Mike and John with you tonight. John Sekanik, that is. Joe also there behind the glass. We are talking controversial baseball topics that we have not heard John's opinion on yet. We've discussed robot umpires. He is against them. And we've discussed the state of the game and whether or not he views it, like a lot of people do, as a negative. And he also does not. He views it as baseball. And baseball's baseball. Right?
Baseball is baseball. And one thing I hate is people who don't love baseball trying to change it. Just leave it alone. If you don't like baseball, don't watch it.
Yeah, you don't need to watch it.
Yes, plenty of us are. And it's just fine. I think baseball is just fine.
So the next controversial topic I wanted to get to was actually kind of referenced in that open there.
Can I say that I hate the A's real quick?
Absolutely.
They just were on the highlights. They're beating the Angels, who I also hate, but it just bothers me that Oakland is Oakland, and they're good. Always good. They have just scrubs and nobodies, and they're all good. All their prospects are good. Every trade they make is good. Every guy you've never heard of turns out to be good. I'm jealous of Oakland, but I hate them.
Well, just the other week, I was telling you how much I hated Oakland because the Yankees had gotten swept by them in Oakland, yes. And then they lost the first game in Yankee Stadium. But then the Yankees had two incredible comebacks against them, so I hate them slightly less. Yeah. At the moment.
It'll be back. It's cyclical.
DJ LeMahieu walked off, and then the Yankees scored like four runs in the last inning to win.
Boy, how good is LeMahieu?
Signing of the year.
They stole him from Colorado.
Yeah, they did.
That guy is filthy good. When I was up at Safeco this last week watching the Yankees, he's just a ball player. He's the best player in that lineup. He is awesome.
He will hit the ball wherever it is pitched.
Yeah. He is really good.
He doesn't pull if he doesn't have to. Always going the opposite way. And I haven't checked it in a while, but a couple of weeks ago, I saw his average with runners in scoring position is like .450.
Yeah, I believe it.
He's always getting hits with runners in scoring position. He already has his career high in RBIs, and he's a leadoff man. How about that?
Yeah.
Next controversial topic was kind of teased in the open here as we were playing fight clips from our various teams. And then we also had the Rougned Odor punching Jose Bautista in the face in there because that's the greatest thing of all time. And a lot of people, I'm noticing a trend on social media, and you know, be careful using social media as your gauge of what people are saying and feeling. But I mean, in this instance, it's what we have to gauge because you can't just go do a straw poll of every baseball fan in the country. So it's a microcosm, I think, of baseball fans. I'm noticing, and sometimes with the writers too, is they're viewing the intentional brushback or the intentional hit batter, the brawls, as useless and tacky and bad for the sport. And I've always liked fights in baseball, and I feel like this kind of flies in the face of the way I normally view the sport. Is like I kind of in all sports in general. I kind of like, you know, like, be respectful, understand what you're doing, and you don't need to throw at guys intentionally. But there's something about the beanball pitch when you know it's coming that I like. I don't know why, but I like it a lot. And the Reds Pirates brawl from probably a month ago now was, I think, a huge crux of the people's argument of like Amir Garrett egging on the Pirates bench and charging the bench and all that kind of stuff. People just saying how silly it was and how stupid it was and how those two teams have been doing it all year and it's moronic. And Clint Hurdle, the manager of the Pirates, old school guy, keeps hitting the Reds, who have a younger manager, I forget his name, who is not exactly the same way. I like it. I don't know why, but it kind of gets me all warm and bubbly inside when it happens. It's like it's something in baseball that I just have always adored. I don't know why. And
it's the death metal in you coming out.
I don't know how you feel about it, because part of me wants to agree with these writers who says it's stupid and childish, but part of me is like, let them play. It's fun.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's just part of the game.
To you me, get that like autumn sweater feeling when it happens?
Well, it's just, it's just one of those things where you know that there's a cost for what just happened, right? If you hit the ball out and you showboat, awesome. I'm all for that too. But there's a cost associated with it that you're going to wear one. And I like that. I like that the pitchers back up their hitters. I like that the hitters back up their guys on their team. I like that it's just part of the game, and it always has been. And I kind of like it. I feel like if you're in the backyard and you're playing wiffle ball with your buddies and one of them's talking trash and he gets a little too frisky with the trash talk, you're going to dust him high and tight. It's just part of the game.
Yeah.
And then after the game, you're buds again. It's just how it works. So I've never had a problem with it.
Are you noticing there seems to be more people pushing back against
it? Yeah, and I think that's just the overall, and I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be, that's just society nowadays, but I think it just kind of is, you know? I think
I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy.
Well, I don't know the other. I don't know why else there's pushback now. It's, again, we brought up earlier, baseball's been this way for 150 years. I mean, you used to have guys sharpen their spikes in the dugout, and you take a hard slide and you're going to come up and spike somebody. I mean, and I'm not saying intentionally try to hurt anybody, but baseball's been played this way for a long time and it's never really been a problem. So why is it a problem now? Why are we getting that pushback now when you see somebody get hit and there's a fight?
For lack of a better word, it kind of feels, or lack of a better idea, it kind of feels the same as the first discussion that we had with the human element and the umpires.
Yeah.
Something about the rivalries that create these brawls adds to that human element of the sport. For the Reds and Pirates, for example, I mean, those are two teams that are not going anywhere in the NL Central, but for their fans, when they play each other, there's probably that extra edge for whatever. I don't know why the brawl started in the first place, but for whatever reason, it's there and it adds a little something, right? As a Yankee fan, Yankees, Red Sox, I mean, it's been a lot less recently because a lot of the young guys don't have that same kind of angst against each other. But I mean, the A-Rod Jason Varitek infamous one where, you know, he shoved his catcher's glove in his face and they hugged each other to the ground and stuff. And the Don Zimmer, Pedro Martinez thing. I mean, that was just part of that rivalry.
Right.
And when you went into a series with Boston or vice versa, if you're a Red Sox fan going into a series with New York, you knew that there was always a chance that it would topple over the edge. And that added a little bit to that series. So to me, that's part of the human element, that is a part of the spirit of the game. And that's included in this, in my opinion.
There was always, I think it brings something to the game to know that if you piss off Pedro Martinez, he's going to dust you with one. I think that's part of the game, and I like it. And if you need to charge the mound and throw down with him, okay. I don't have a problem with that. And I agree with you. I don't know. Are we just soft nowadays that we can't have that as part of the game?
I think the argument would be maybe not that. I think the people on that side would argue we've moved past that as a society, needing to exert machismo and violence to settle some sort of score.
And I would argue that sports is probably, and maybe we have as society. And
I think honestly, we probably have.
Well,
right?
And in society at large, that's probably a good thing. But I think sports is the one place we still need that.
And by the way, your favorite sport's football, where everything is about machismo and violence and hitting the other person as hard as you absolutely can.
I mean, I hate the Oakland A's. And I want the Mariners to hate the A's when they play them. I don't want them to be buddies.
Do they?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot less of that. Like, and you brought it up yourself. Like, do the Yankees in the 80s and 90s, I think the Yankees hated the Red Sox. I don't think they hate. Do you think the Yankees players hate the Red Sox?
No.
I don't think so.
I think Brett Gardner hates everybody. But I think that the Yankees stopped hating the Red Sox when both teams got young at the same time.
Sure.
The last time they hated each other was A-Rod and Youkilis and all that kind of stuff. Dustin Pedroia. That was kind of where it ended. And now it's to a different point, which could just mean, you know, baseball's changing in that way too.
Take the Blazers in Oklahoma City, this playoff series that just happened. One of the things that made that series so good is there was legitimate bad feelings between the two teams. They don't like each other.
Correct.
You know, and what's the cool moment that everybody talks about, right? Dame hits the three, and what's he do?
He waves goodbye.
Awesome. Yeah. Right? That was awesome. Why? Because I don't like you. I don't like you or your team. You're done. Go away. And I think we miss that in sports. And walking around out on the street of Portland, I don't want that. I don't want somebody hating me because I'm fat or white or bald or tall or Jewish or whatever. But in sports, I think it's okay to hate you because you're an Oakland A. And if you hit a home run off of Felix Hernandez and I'm going to dust the next guy in the back, it's part of sports. And I think that's okay. And maybe I'm in the minority, but I think that's okay. And I think it's okay in sports to have that still, because it adds that human element we talked about earlier.
Did you notice how much Blazer fans and NBA fans, not named Thunder, loved the Damian Lillard wave, right?
Yes.
And I think it was almost like a cry for help. Like, we love this. Give us more of this. It's getting too diluted. It's getting too watered down and too sanitized. And we want some of that extra intensity.
Yes. It was pure emotion.
Yes.
It wasn't scripted. It wasn't done for a commercial. It wasn't done as part of a shoe endorsement. It was every single one of us that's played sports, whether you've played professionally or in college or high school or just out on the sandlot with your buddies, right? Every single one of us has been in that game where tempers flare and you hate the other guy. It's part of sports. And that's, you saw that out on the court with Damian Lillard waving goodbye. And I think that connects with all of us. We've all been there. And I agree with you. I think that makes it awesome. It's authentic. It's true emotion. And the fans want more of that, because I think in general we see less of that in society for sure. But in sports in general, I think we see less of that as well.
Better You Today, text line 55305. Got some good texts coming in. We'll get to those next. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
919 on The Fan. Better You Today. Text line is 55305. RJ's in. Throwing at a batter intentionally should only be allowed in the National League, because if you don't have the balls to go stand up at the plate after doing that, you shouldn't get a chance.
You know, now, and I am definitely pro DH, 100% pro DH, but I do agree with that. With that statement, that I think pitchers that throw at other guys should have to stand up there and take the heat too.
This text was on the other side and says education, and nobody wants to see a dude die at the plate, arguing against, you know, beating players. Look, I don't want people to go head hunting.
Stay away from the head. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
100%.
When you see players go after the head, it's kind of like, ugh.
That's bush league.
I mean, again,
people die, but these guys have pinpoint control most of the time. You can plant one between the two and the four in their back.
Or hit them in the butt or whatever, and just,
right.
They know it's intentional.
Right.
You don't need to go headhunting. And yeah, education has gone up, and it's not necessarily as barbaric of a sport. All sports are less barbaric. I mean, even football is less barbaric than it used to be. Still pretty barbaric, though. So, I mean, yeah, that's the argument against it. And I get it. Look, I'm not saying I don't understand the opposition to it. I just still feel like it should be part of the game.
Sure.
It's almost, your brother argued with me about this with the robot umpire thing for two segments when we brought it up the original time. And he was like, no one has a logical reason why they don't want this. And I said, you know what? You might be right, but I just know deep down that it's going to hurt the sport. And I don't necessarily know why yet, but I feel like if you watched it happen, it would slowly hurt the sport. And he's like, but that's not a real reason. And I'm like, that's my opinion, though. That's my reason for not wanting it.
Right.
I understand your side and all the points. They make sense. They're logical. They're salient points. But
what's logical about sports?
Nothing.
What's logical about being a fan?
What's logical about life?
It is absolutely ridiculous. I am 45 years old, and it is absolutely ridiculous that I spend my time watching guys I don't know try to hit a baseball. And when they can't do it, it pisses me off, and it puts me in a bad mood, and I'm grumpy. I mean, I'm literally grumpy because Kyle Seager can't hit a baseball. That's ludicrous.
He's been hitting a little better.
He's been red hot the last little bit, but in a classic Ichiro move, he's red hot in August when we're 40 games under 500. How about trying that in April, Kyle?
Well, if he did, he'd still be 40 games under 500.
Right. But that's not logical. It's sports isn't logical. So I understand what my brother's saying with that. But since when do we follow sports for logic? We follow sports because it's emotion and it's fun and it's an escape and it's passionate and it's not scripted and you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, you can do all the analysis you want. I can give you all the stats in the world, Mike. I can lay down every single number. You can have numbers on the other side. And the bottom line is when Felix Hernandez stands on the mound and throws the pitch, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
There's also, this is something I've noticed in relation to the shift, which I wasn't going to bring up as a controversial topic, but we could talk about it if it interests you. I listen to the Yankees radio call sometimes because if the game's on in the afternoon and I'm driving into work, I'll put it on my phone. I've got MLB TV and I can listen to the radio call. John Sterling's like 9,000 years old and he's the Yankees guy. He's the Yankees win guy, if you don't know him by name. And I mean, he just hates the shift. And every time someone hits a single the opposite way when there's nobody there, he just sits there and goes, oh, why is nobody playing on that side of the field? Who cares what the analytics say? That was a single. And it's like, I get that super old baseball person feels that way, but analytics does have a place in the game because that to me doesn't remove the emotion. The emotion is still there, even though there's someone shifting to the right side of the infield or the left side of the infield. When you start doing some of the things we've been talking about and removing that, that's when the emotion goes away and you just start getting cut and dry. Here's a result. Enjoy it or not, you know? So that's just the way I look at it. This text says Spock is logical, but Kirk was the captain.
I like that. As a Trekkie myself, I appreciate that text. That's well played.
I'm not a Trekkie, but I have seen the new Star Trek movies, the new three or four of them or whatever. And I enjoyed that as well. And this guy comes back, the guy who said, you don't want to see people die. As long as there aren't headshots, thumbs up with you guys. Yeah. Because you don't want to lose that extra flair and emotion from the sport.
No, I don't want guys getting hurt. That's not what we're saying here. But I think there's nothing wrong with getting knocked down once in a while.
So shifts/analytics, that's the last controversial topic that I can think of before we move into maybe a fair or foul with Joe. Maybe not. Oh, he's got one. Okay.
Is he paying attention in there?
No.
Rumor is he's drafting.
Yeah.
Is there truth to that?
I've heard that maybe he's pick number four in his Rick and Morty fantasy football
league. Is
there
a draft going on right now?
There may be a draft. I might have my pick coming up next.
What number are you?
Four.
And who are you looking at?
How about
here?
That as a random guess, by the way? I had no idea.
Oh, I thought you knew.
Just guessed fourth.
I thought you saw the draft order like before it started. That is kind of weird. Right now, I need some wide receiver help.
At number four?
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's already had a couple picks.
Yeah, two of the three went to running back.
Oh, okay.
So
Who's available?
I'm looking at Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks. I think I'm going Godwin.
Godwin or Cooks?
Godwin's getting a lot of pub this year.
My time to draft. Uh-oh, mic off. Sorry.
Oh, boy. Joe's out.
I did a full auction draft on primetime one day.
During the show?
Yeah. I have a fight with my league all the time. I'm the only one who lives on the West Coast. So I'm at the mercy of all the East Coast people in their time zone. And they're like, it's 7 o'clock at night they were doing this draft. What do you care? And I'm like, no, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you're doing it on a Monday, you morons. And they always put out all these dates and I'm like, please do it on a Saturday or Sunday. And everyone picks Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, ah! So then the commissioner texts me and goes, Mike, you're the only one who didn't pick that date. And I was like, well, it's because I'm going to be at work.
Right.
And I was like, as long as you're okay with pausing it every once in a while, then that's fine.
Yeah. If they give you a chance to.
I just will type in the chat, hey, pause real quick. I go and do an update or something, and then I'm right back to drafting.
All right.
So shifts and analytics. What do you got?
Who'd you get?
Whitman's, Godwin.
Okay.
But I have another pick coming up in five more picks.
Godwin's getting a lot of pub this year. A lot of guys like him.
Well, I'm hoping that Mike Evans absorbs those double teams, and that frees up Godwin to catch a lot of balls and put up
probably 1,500. Wise to steer clear of Diggs since he's already hurt.
Right. And is always hurt.
And he may be on my fantasy team, and I'm not happy about it already.
Take Adam Thielen, not Stephon Diggs.
He's gone.
Thielen's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
Quickly, analytics, shifts. Controversial topic. People hate it because it feels less like natural baseball. How do you feel?
I'm not going to say I hate it. This is, again, I lean to be old school. That's normally the side of the argument I'm gonna stand on. I don't love it, but I'm definitely the guy that says, well, figure out, just hit it the other way. I mean, figure out how to beat the shift. I mean, and Kyle, I joke about Kyle Seager all the time. I think the shift has ruined Kyle Seager. Once they started shifting on him 2 years ago, he's been atrocious. I think it's in his head, and I don't think I think it kills him as a hitter. And that's just me watching him over the course of 162 games. But hit it the other way. You're telling me, I mean, they used to try to shift against Ted Williams. It didn't work. Why? Because Teddy Ballgame would hit it the other way. They didn't do it after that. And so I think they do it because it works. Yep. And I'd rather, just as a traditionalist, I don't like seeing the bastardized six guys on one side of the infield. I don't like that visually. It bothers me. I don't like when a guy hits what would be a clean single out into right field and, you know, the ninth the extra softball guy's out there and he makes the play.
The one that bothers me the most is when they shift and the guy right behind second base gets a single up the middle and it's just a ground out.
I don't like that. But again, you put your defensive players where you want to put them, and it's up to the hitter to figure out how to beat it. So I get it, but I'm not a huge fan of it. But I'm not going to rail against it either. If that answers your question in a long, winding way around it.
I'm more of an old school guy too, but this is actually where I'm more new school in that sense. Is I love the shift.
Yeah.
I mean, you're using the stats available to you and the technology available to you to have a better chance to win. I mean, if Chris Davis with a C is coming up and hitting 85% of his ground balls to the right side, of course you're going to put all the guys on the right side. You'll give up random three singles if you get most of those ground balls out, right? Instead of giving up 15 singles, you're giving up three. So over the course of the season, sure, you might be annoyed if he hits one the other way, but generally it's going to work.
True.
So as long as what you're doing is legal in the game, and it is, then do it.
I get, and that's kind of where I am. I get why you do it. I get what the numbers say, and by and large, it works more often than it doesn't. Again, I'm not a fan of it per se, but I'm more along the lines of, you know, put your big boy pants on and figure out how to hit it the other way. They're giving you the whole left side of the infield, Kyle. Just bunt it over there. Hit it over there. We're paying you a lot of money. Figure out how to hit it over there.
I remember earlier this season, Brett Gardner, some team started shifting on him, and he just, like a clinic, hit three of the next four balls, opposite field ground balls, and he'd look at the dugout and go, why are they shifting on me?
Right?
And then you get a fast guy on base and he's stealing second, and all of a sudden it's like, why did you do that?
Now, not to go off topic here, but can we all agree that Brett Gardner's head is really weird looking?
Yes. Yes, we can.
It is a weirdly shaped bald head.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like when I first shaved my head, that's what I didn't want. Like I didn't want to look like that because it looks weird.
Yeah, if I ever lose my hair and have to shave my head, I've got a weird scar from when I ran into a windowsill with the back of my head. I'm going to have a weird looking bald head if I go bald.
He's got a giant, it's like a five head. It's a big, huge forehead, and it's weird, and it's just, and he shaves it like with a razor so there's no hair on it. He should let a little stubble grow. I think it would take some of the weirdness out of it. But that bothers me. Brett Gardner's head shape bothers me.
He does have the very large amount of back of the head neck wrinkles, too.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. It doesn't look good.
If he was on another team, he could grow facial hair, which would probably make it look less insane.
Okay, by the way, the other thing, are the Yankees ever going to give that up?
Probably not.
Is that just they'll never give that up?
They've loosened it a little bit, but generally I think no.
How about we quit worrying about robot umps and we let some of the Yankees grow a goatee? How about we let that happen? Come on.
They've made exceptions.
No facial
hair.
Didn't
Goose Gossage have a mustache for the Yankees?
That's ridiculous.
Didn't he? I don't remember.
No, I don't think they've ever had that, have they?
Well, I don't know. I remember specifically letting some people have something, one random little bit of facial hair. I can't remember who it was. Someone was known for their facial hair, and they let him keep a little bit. Might have been Johnny Damon, because Johnny Damon was like caveman, and then he had to play for the Yankees and had to go all clean.
All I know is that's ridiculous.
All right, we got a break. Coming up next, it's time for Forf. But first, Joe has sports and fantasy at the same time.
Is it fair?
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
That's a fair ball.
Or is it foul?
Well, he thought it was foul, I think.
A knowledge test for Patrick and Mike to see how well they know the big leagues.
Mathematics and strange symbols now, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The OBP and the SLG and the ISO and the you name it.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, John. Fair or foul? Have you done this with us before?
I have done fair or foul.
So you know the rules. For those who are listening for the first time, hello. Thank you for joining us. Better You Today text lines 55305.
And we are getting a lot of people texting in that apparently the Yankees facial hair policy does allow mustaches.
Cool.
Because, Goose obviously wore one, but apparently you can wear a mustache but no other facial hair, which is weird.
Yeah, that's old school as old school gets right
Don't
there,
like
right?
it.
Buttoned up old school baseball. The fair or foul segment here, Joe will ask us both opinion and trivia-based questions, and we have to say fair or foul and give our reasons or guess the correct answer. So, Joe, what do you have for us on this fine Wednesday evening?
All right, so let's start this thing. I have four picks until my turns, you guys. This is just brutal. Okay, so.
Yeah, no one's listening anyway.
You'll be fine.
So we have a lot of people hitting home runs, scoring runs, bringing runs in this season from all over the majors. But fair or foul, the top five RBI leaders in the MLB are all in the National League?
Really?
Fair or foul.
What? Fair so the top five RBI guys are all in the National League.
Doesn't seem right.
It seems weird.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
But because it's so weird, it must be true.
Right. You're going the opposite. Like it's so wrong. It's definitely right.
Yeah.
But see, Joe also will do the triple trick and he'll get you thinking that way, but it'll be one AL guy who's fifth.
He's crafty,
that
he's
Joe
a crafty
Fish.
One.
Mm-hmm. He also is trying to get us to think about this hard because he's got a pick now and two picks probably.
You're right, two
and
picks.
I got a fantasy My football God. Brain on me, jeez. And we're stalling for him too. I'm trying to think of what teams are scoring the most runs. It'd be the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Twins, and the AL. And if any of those guys on those teams would be leaders in RBI. Now, for the Astros, most of their big-name guys have been hurt at times throughout the year, so they're probably not at the top. The Twins, I feel like, are spread out pretty evenly, right? Nelson Cruz maybe leads them in RBIs. The Red Sox, maybe it's Rafael Devers, because he's been absolutely on fire this year. Yankees, I feel like they've had too many injuries to really have somebody be there the entire year and get that many RBIs. Maybe LeMahieu is up there. I'm going to go ahead and say foul, and there's one or two AL guys in the top five.
I'm going to go with Joe as a crafty one, and it seems so weird that it must be true, and I'm going to say that's fair. They're all in the National League, but I'm going to guess it's close. It'll be one of those where, like,
it's one RBI
away.
You know, John is new to this game, second or third time playing it, but he's catching on. Top five RBI leaders. Let me get this pulled up. Freddie Freeman, number one, and Anthony Rendon tied at 114. Josh Bell, And sorry, I don't have the first name. Escobar for Arizona.
Eduardo Escobar.
Eduardo Escobar.
I didn't know
thank
he had
you.
That many. Holy crap.
112. What? Or excuse me, 110.
What?
Yeah. And then Nolan Arenado, 108.
Who's the first AL guy?
First AL guy right after him would be Rafael Devers.
With how many?
107.
See, ooh. So very close.
It's the Price is Right $1 bid, Bob.
And I think Nolan Arenado got an RBI in the game today, which probably pushed him over the edge. All right, that was a great one, Joe. I'm actually very surprised by that. Eduardo Escobar, is that many RBIs? Are you kidding me?
I would have never guessed that.
Imagine if the Twins still had him. What do you got?
Okay, so that takes care of a fact-based one. On to an opinion-based one.
Is it your pick yet, by the way?
Oh, I just made my pick.
Can we hear who you got?
Duke Johnson.
Oh.
I needed some running back help.
Be careful. They did go get Carlos Hyde, though. Okay. Could be their new number one.
I feel like Duke Johnson will get the receptions.
He will. If it's a PPR league, that's a good move. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like to be honest, I'm trying to stall because I didn't know that they got Carlos Hyde also.
I feel like you guys, you should have guys named Duke on your team.
It's a great name.
Would you rather
be named Duke or Prince?
Duke.
Me too.
Although Prince is cooler. The Mets. As a person. Meet the Mets. They blew a 7th run lead in the 9th, and they really haven't done anything since their little hot streak. And especially after last night's debacle, I know that they won tonight, but fair or foul, Mets, you're out on them.
I mean, fair. I was out on them when they were on their hot streak. This is not sustainable. Have you seen the Mets?
Yeah.
Have you seen that team? Have you seen their lineup? I knew it wasn't sustainable. They are currently, if I check the wild card standing real quick, they are currently 4.5 games out of the second wild card spot, but they have 3 teams ahead of them in the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, and the Brewers. The Mets are the last team that's still in it. After them, the Giants are 8.5 back, so they're done. Let's be honest. We look in the AL and we say the Red Sox are 5.5 back. Are they really in the wild card race, in your opinion? Not really.
No.
So the Mets, one game closer, or three teams in between them? Yeah, that's fair. The Mets are not in it anymore. No,
I agree. Much to the chagrin of my good friend Jose, who's a Mets fan, may or may not be listening right now. The Mets are out. I'm out on them. They're not getting in.
This is brutal, you guys. All right, so Verlander, Justin, he threw a no-hitter the other night.
I used to like him a lot.
His third of his career. I used to like him, too. I don't anymore.
Me either. I hate him.
Although I'm happy he's got Kate Upton for us.
Good for him.
Yeah, lucky him.
Third no-hitter, only the 6th guy.
So stoked for
him. To ever throw 3 or more no-hitters. That's huge.
So,
we've seen more of Justin Verlander than we wanted to as well.
So, Justin Verlander, he obviously threw the no-hitter.
But then just enough, Kate.
You had Garrett Cole the very next night have a very good night on the mound as well.
I believe he got 10 or 11 Ks in that game.
Right,
the next night.
Right. So, fair or foul, Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, now number 1 and 2 in strikeouts in the major leagues.
In the major leagues? I think Garrett Cole is number 1, if I remember correctly. And I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's anybody else in baseball this year who's had K numbers like that staff has had. I think Charlie Morton's had a lot of strikeouts, but nowhere near the amount that Verlander probably has. Lucas Giolito has a lot, I think. I think Matthew Boyd on the Tigers has a lot. Scherzer's been hurt, so it's probably not him. Chris Sale had a lot, but now he's hurt, so he's probably not near there anymore. Kershaw's doing great, actually. I'll say fair.
I can't think
of who else it would be.
Yeah, my dumpster fire of a fantasy baseball team does feature one Justin Verlander. So I have paid more attention to him than I normally would have. I know he's one of the top 2. And I know Garrett Cole is really close. So I'm going to go the opposite here and say that Joe is not trying to trick us. And I'm going to say fair. Those are the top 2 strikeout guys in baseball right now.
It is fair. I thought you were tricking me at first and you were going to go foul, but no, sticking to your guns and what you know in this game. John might have figured me out in this fair or foul.
Already.
Took two games.
You're distracted, so.
Jedi mind tricks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, and just a quick last one for fun. Fair or foul, in 1993, the Indians got no hit by a guy that only had one hand.
Fair.
And
it happened on this today. Very date.
Yes.
Yeah, the great September Jim
Abbott. September 4th, 1993, Jim Abbott.
For the New York Yankees. So you can't have facial hair, but you only need one hand to play for the Yankees.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a great story.
I saw that, so I thought I'd throw that in there because, yeah, who would have thunk it?
Now,
yeah.
I don't remember watching that game because I was 4 years old when it happened. But
gosh, I'm old. I was in college.
Yeah, well, I was born in 1989, so.
Yeah, well. Was in college, and I do remember when that happened, and mostly because I'm pretty sure that the following day I went out and bought a bunch of Jim Abbott rookie cards because I thought that they would go up in value and I could retire on them someday. So if anybody wants a Jim Abbott rookie card, I got a box of them at home somewhere. I'll try to mail you one.
Hey, hold on to those things. They're like Bitcoin. They'll explode, yeah. All right?
The Jim Abbott card's coming back around. I don't know about where is Jim Abbott these days? I wonder what Jim Abbott's doing.
I don't know.
You don't hear about that guy ever. I don't ever see him on the card show circuit or signing autographs or doing anything. I wonder what old Jimmy Abbott's doing these days.
Well, if he's signing autographs, let's hope he's a lefty.
That is interesting. You're right. I haven't seen a lot from him. I'm sure he's done like Old Timers Day or done something like that, right? Maybe he just wanted to be private after that.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, I was curious. So Gerrit Cole has 266 strikeouts. That is number one in Major League Baseball. Verlander is 257. Number two, then there's a 24 strikeout difference to number three. Now, can you guess who number three is? Joe might know because he lives.
I was going to say, I know. So
now he's a young pitcher who shares a name with a pop star to make it really easy for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that doesn't give it away.
All right. Bieber.
Yeah, Shane Bieber on the Indians. 233. Trevor Bauer, 228. Jacob DeGrom, 220.
Didn't that kid in Detroit have a bunch of strikeouts?
Matthew Boyd is right after him, 219.
Yeah.
Sale, 218. Strasburg, 215. Giolito, I guess sort of, right, 210. And Charlie Morton, 209. Look at that. I got a couple of guys in the top 10. That makes me proud.
Mariner.
What?
Mariner.
Who are Mariners?
Mariners. I'm looking for a Mariner.
Oh, scrolling.
I'm all the way down here to a three-way tie for 25th before we get a Marco Gonzalez appearance. All right, I'll take that. For 25th.
That is your fair or foul, fellas.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Was that just the American League you were looking at? Because 25th is Jose Berrios.
Dang it.
At 169.
Look, just let me have this. Tied for 25th in the American League West. Awesome.
Oh, boy. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap this sucker up. This is the Hot Corner on the Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Final segment here of this Hot Corner After Dark with Mike and John and Joe today. Patrick should be back next week.
Show's gone by quick, Mike. Yeah. I was a little worried I was going to get sleepy this late at night, but I feel good.
I mean, knowing I've talked to you about this on the phone, you are a late stayer-upper.
I do. I like to stay up late at night. Again, you don't know what's happening late at night unless you stay up.
That's exactly right. Although the last couple of months, I've been faltering a little bit. I've been on the couch watching TV, and then I'm like awake an hour later going, ah, crap.
I take a hard, my kids and wife give me a hard time because I'm prone to falling asleep. So if I'm downstairs watching a game, chances are I'll doze off for an inning or two. And then you are awake at night. So they're not giving me full night owl credit because I'm taking a little nap in the middle there.
Yeah, so I used to be like, I could be up till midnight or 1, I'll be fine. And now it's like 10:30, and then I'm asleep. I'm like, ah, crap.
Right.
I'm getting older, John.
It happens, Mike. It happens to us all.
I turned 30, and now I can't stay up to midnight anymore.
We on 4th of July this year, we decided we were going to stay up and try to binge watch Stranger Things.
Okay.
The new season came out.
8 episodes, right?
Yeah, it started out midnight.
Or 6 episodes?
4th of July, midnight. And so my wife and I were like going to stay up and binge watch it. And we had the whole thing. We were ready to go. And like, you know, normally you're in your mind, I'm thinking like, oh, piece of cake.
I can do this.
Right? Piece of cake. Like end of episode 2, I'm like head bobbing on the couch. And I'm like, what? Like, we're like, should we start episode 3? And I'm like, oh, I'll never make it. I'll never make it. So I felt pretty old. It was like 2:30 in the morning. We got like halfway into episode 3 and we crapped out. It was pretty sad.
I can't watch things like that with my wife because she is the prone to fall asleep no matter where she's sitting. And as long as she's comfortable, she falls asleep.
Sure.
So if we're watching a show and she's got a blanket on it, she gets warm. She might make it an episode or two, and then I look over and she's sleeping. And like, in some cases, I'm like, really? It's 2:30 in the afternoon. Right. Come on.
Right.
But if I try to wake her up, then she gets really angry, and it's just like, all right, let her sleep. She'll wake up when she wakes up. But this is a totally random, strange story. She apparently, there's a show with Action Bronson. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's like a really – Joe knows who that is. He's like a really –
kind of looks like you, John. With a beard.
Yeah, he's kind of got a little bit of a John Sucanic going on. He's like a social media rapper guy.
Action Bronson?
Yeah, he started the show on Viceland where they watch the show Ancient Aliens, you know, the History Channel show, the one that's like got all the goofy memes about it.
Yeah.
And it's them and his friends getting high watching it together. The show was terrible.
Okay.
It was terrible. But my wife and I were like watching it more interested in what the Ancient Aliens episode was instead of their stupid stuff on top of it. They were like, let's try it. We'd never watched it. We put it on. She fell asleep in 25 minutes. And I was like, I was actually kind of interested. And the show is kind of stupid, right? And you kind of have, there's jokes about it. I get it. But, you know, it was kind of interesting just to see what they were talking about. I looked over. She was out. And I was like, yeah, so Ancient Aliens, not your thing. And she was like, I was easy sleeping fodder right there for me. Way too easy to fall asleep to.
He does have a mighty beard. Look at that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. It's one of those things, you know, Viceland has that show with 2 Chainz, and yes. He goes around and does those like really expensive things.
Uh-huh.
Your brother's talked about it, so yep, maybe he's talked about it.
I know
you.
That show.
They're doing this thing where they have famous people do things, and that's supposed to be entertaining. I don't know why, but that's supposed to be entertaining.
What else are you going to watch on TV besides people do things?
Right. You're watching someone watch something. That's right. What that show's thing was, and I was not a big fan of that. But yeah, so sleeping as you get older on the couch is very comfortable, but it's cutting into my fun sports and binge watching TV time. No bueno. All right. We got to get going here pretty soon. Thank you very much, John, for coming in. And also thank you. I wanted to throw this out there. You brought us a little gift, a coaster from Cooperstown.
You know, you guys do the whole beer podcast thing.
Yes, we
do. And I figured what better, you know, I was in Cooperstown for the Edgar's induction. I'm a souvenir guy. I like to bring stuff back for my friends. I thought, what better thing to bring back for the Beers R Us podcast than a little coaster?
It's a 2019 National Baseball Hall of Fame induction with Baines, Halliday, Martinez, Mussina, Rivera, and Smith on it. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm very happy
Mike.
That it's got Mo and Moose on it as well. Makes the heart grow fonder. And it's got Edgar for you.
And it's got Edgar.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's always a blast to come in and talk baseball.
Fun, very fast show. Time flies when you're having fun. We will be back next week. Patrick and I, the show is moving to 8 to 10 until the end of the Ducks regular season. The Oregon Coaches Show will be from 7 to 8 every single Wednesday. And when the season ends, we'll go back to being a 7 to 9 p.m. show on Wednesday night. Playoffs are coming soon. That's when we get really, really excited. And last year, that gave us the moment, or 2 years ago, of Patrick and I watching our own teams playing each other on air. And it was fantastic. Plus, the Yankees won. We got to go. Ducks Insider next. We'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.